Blog Talk Radio told me I talk too loud. That's why I'm getting all the bleeps. I used to have a headset, but my headset's not working, so I'm using a handset now, and the headset muffled me, and that kept the bleeps from coming. But I'm overloading the system, he said, by shouting. Well, I said, that's my show! Just got to go get a new $300 headset so I can do the show. Of course they blamed it on me! And then I called up, I went into my site today, just so you know what I have to deal with. And, you know, I don't know if you noticed that Firefox offered a version 10 this morning. Well, I upgraded, and sure enough, that's not compatible with Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio gives you a message that they're going to get it up sometime later this day. Later today, they'll be compatible with the new Firefox. I had to switch at the last minute everything over to Chrome. Gee whiz. Anyway, let me talk about what I want to talk about to start the show, which I don't know if it's going to be good. Let me warn you now. Don't listen. I don't care. I want to talk about a murder that took place recently. Actually, the murder took place a few years ago. The trial took place recently in Montreal. Who was on trial? It all concerned a wealthy family from Afghanistan. Follow this. Come on. There was the husband. There was his first wife, who couldn't have any kids, his second wife, who had seven kids. Now, the dad, the mom with the seven kids, and the oldest son, it looks like they killed the first wife and three of the daughters because the girls wanted to have boyfriends and they liked to wear sexy clothes. Now, you know, who your daughter goes out with and how she dresses, that's a legitimate concern for any parent. I had to pull the phone away from my mouth so it wouldn't bleep out on some important word. I want you to understand me. My point is that those are valid issues, but the key is you only have so much control. As these people obviously found out, if you push too hard, you're going to run in trouble because now they're all in prison for 25 years. Now, the average person, the person I'm talking to right now, is not going to resort to murder like these idiots did. But my point is that even if you're 100% right, 100%, lots of times you can't win. You have to give up and let the other guy have his way. And this just isn't with your children. Most people don't like to hear when they're doing something wrong. When you say, hey, you're wrong, they think you're trying to degrade them. They don't want to hear about a mistake. It's much bigger for them. So correcting someone is a conversation you usually can't have. And if you push your case, that's not going to make anyone more reasonable either. I run into this all the time. I share my wisdom. The other guy doesn't get it. So I repeat myself louder and louder and louder until they say I'm the bad guy. Even though I'm not, I'm right. Now, here's a great example of what I mean. Have you ever heard of the Cotard delusion? C-O-T-A-R-D. I noticed that I might get caught for that T-A-R-D ending, but I didn't put it there. It's probably some Frenchman discovered it. Cotard delusion. When you have that, you think you're dead. Now, it should be easy to prove to someone that he isn't dead, but it isn't. And if you try, you're not going to win. Now, lots of the people you meet in life, they're not totally crazy, but they're a little crazy. So they seem normal, but you can't convince them of something reasonable any more than you can convince someone with the Cotard delusion that she's not dead. So to close, I want to tell you about an opposite case to the one in Montreal. I might have talked about it before because it stuck in my mind so powerfully. I saw it a few years ago on TV about a teenager out in Calgary where it gets pretty cold at night. She was a drug-using curbside prostitute. And when they interviewed her, they said, why were you doing that? And she said, hey, I like the lifestyle. I like the lifestyle. What an idiot. But her mother didn't like the lifestyle. But here's the thing. She never threw her out of the house. because she knew if she did, she'd lose that kid. So she let her have a nice place to live and let her have a good relationship with her mother until she decided she didn't want to be a prostitute anymore. What does that have to do with recruiting? Am I telling you that some of the hiring managers you meet are going to be crazy, even though they don't seem that way at first? Am I saying that maybe you shouldn't push too hard when you offer someone a better job than the one he has now? I don't know what I'm saying. Maybe I'm saying those things, but Jerry's back at the show. Can you tell us what show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show.
Stretch out the introduction because I had all those problems with Blog Talk Radio, and I didn't put up the notice that the show was starting till the very last second. So, everybody, if you were thinking, when's this going to be over? Hey, I was doing you a favor, so you had a chance to get here, because when I started, there wasn't a soul. Except, I assume, Shally. Shally, are you here?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Great.
How about you?
Great. Your agent told me yesterday that you would make it, but, you know, I was still
my
a little nervous
agent?
Not having... Your agent, yeah, I know, you're famous now. You got Kathy working for you as a middleman.
Yeah, she's a
I can't
great
talk
agent.
To Shally
anybody
directly.
Anybody who's looking for a good agent to represent their talent, I highly recommend Kathy.
For you, she's the best agent, and I'll be explaining that as the show goes on. But Shally, as big a man as you are, and I hear you're not as big as you used to be.
I'm a third
got...
the man I used to be, Animal.
Wow. We're going to talk about that, Shal. People are going to complain. Why are they talking to Shally about weight loss? Doesn't he know Shally should only be talking about sourcing? Hey,
that's right.
If you don't like me talking to Shally, who lost 100 pounds, Kathy, his agent said, if you don't want to talk about that, call in the show and tell me what you want to talk about. I am open. I'm 100% open. I don't have the cotard delusion. But Shally, 100%? First I have to tell you. Shally, first I have to tell you. I've got another guy who's going to talk before we get to you. His name is Chris. His name is Chris Fleek. I wouldn't like to go through life with the last name Fleek, but this is all about names on Twitter. Chris Fleek, did you make it here today?
Oh, I'm here.
Talk a little louder, Chris. Don't make me mad. I got enough problems, okay?
Hey, no worries. I'll talk louder.
Okay, so you're going to tell us about how you changed your name on Twitter. What was it originally?
My original Twitter username was Chris Fleek 1.
Yeah, we don't like those ones, okay. And what did you change it to?
Chris Fleek.
And that's spelled C-H-R-I-S-F-L-E-E-K. The one good thing about your last name, it's spelled just like you might imagine. There's no C-K or E-A-K or anything like that. So how did you manage to change that name?
Well, I can't take credit for the process that I had to go through. It's actually a gentleman by the name of John Mitchell that came up with this. But the first thing I had to do was I had to align an email address to the username that I wanted to use. So I needed to create a chrisfleek@gmail email address so that when I approached Twitter, I could use that as further evidence that my name is my brand, or it's actually a name that I'm using in social media. So
now
there
let me
is,
ask you, did somebody else have Chris plain Chris Fleek?
Yes. Somebody created Chris Fleek a number of years ago and tweeted only once, had no followers. It was just a spam account. So clearly not being used.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead now.
Okay. So there is a form. There's a support link on Twitter.com that you can go to, and one of the options is to report an account for impersonation. And apparently a lot of people try to report inactive accounts to reclaim a username, but that doesn't work. The only way to alert Twitter to this kind of situation is to report an account for impersonation. So
well, how do you prove the guy was impersonating you?
Well, by showing that I'm using the name Chris Fleek for other things. So that ties back to why I needed that email address. I actually own chrisfleek.com. That forwards to my business address. So I was able to show that Chris Fleek is my brand, and that person was squatting on top of my brand.
And what happened?
Well, I receive an automated email from Twitter that says, hey, we've received your request. We're going to take a look at it. And then about 7 or 8 days later, I received notification that I had been given the Chris Fleek identity on Twitter. And that was, there was only two communications from Twitter. It was pretty efficient. There were no further questions from them about the situation. They looked at it. And ultimately, this hinges on the fact that Twitter users, when they sign up, agree that any account that is inactive for over 6 months is subject to termination. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so by saying that this person was impersonating me, they could look and see, okay, yeah, the person is outside of that six-month window, and they gave me that account.
Great, great news. And so with the new name, did that just appear at the top of your existing account? You didn't lose all your history, did you?
It did. I lost nothing. They merged all of my previous activity and relationships into the new account.
Good for you. Anybody got a question for Chris Fleek? No.
Don't have a question, but have an offering. Facebook does the same thing. So if you're a company and you have created a Facebook page and somebody else has the same name, you can submit a form saying that somebody is using your company name and you can get it back.
Okay, great. Well, that's great news, Chris. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I don't, other than that, yeah, you're correct. My name is a pretty tough one to grow up with, but I'm stuck with it, so I'm rolling with it.
Okay, but you're a big man, and you don't want to live out your act out your problems from youth. Don't do that. Okay, go sit on the couch. We're going to talk to Shally. Please feel free to speak up again. I enjoy having you here.
Thanks.
Now, Maureen Sherub, are you here today? Maureen Sherub. Yeah, okay, she's here. I know she is, but she just doesn't want to talk, okay? There's nobody watching you on Twitter, everybody. You know, she promised. I showed up at her chat yesterday, but she's not here for me. Thank you, Maureen. Appreciate it. Okay, Shally.
I'm here.
You're here. Thanks, Maureen. It only took 5 minutes till you answered my call. Appreciate it.
She was on the couch. Give her a break.
Yeah, is there anything on Twitter I should... Is there anything on Twitter I should be aware of at this point, Maureen Sherub?
Nothing yet.
Okay, you know, during the show, don't cook or wash the dishes. That's our classic evasion routine. Please
Can
don't do that, okay?
If
you promise me you're going to keep your eyes on Twitter, keep your eyes on Twitter.
I've got
okay?
my eyes peeled like onions on Twitter.
Okay, thank you very much.
Funny.
Now, Shally, I'm coming back to you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Still with me?
I absolutely am.
Okay. On November 24th, 2008, you told HRM Today, you say, I have a lot to say. In fact, I just can't shut up. I have verbal diarrhea. And that was why you created your blog, you claimed, okay? But you make a deal with me. I want you to feel free to unleash that verbal diarrhea here today. Don't make me force it out of you, okay? Just share. You've got
for
so
the last
much in
4 years, I've been taking the verbal equivalent of Imodium to try to stop it, and now you're telling me I should just let loose, okay?
You know what? I got one of the greatest guests in the world, and whenever you're on, I get slaughtered after the show. They didn't handle him properly. Shally's got all the secrets that Recruiting Animal is not getting out of him. So don't force me. You know what's good. I don't. I'm an idiot, okay? I've got Cotard's delusion. Just tell us the good stuff. If I'm asking you the wrong question, interrupt me. Just say, this is what your audience wants to know, okay?
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Now, look, your last name. I always call you just the great Shally. I don't know how to say your last name. Is it Steckerel?
Steckerel. Yeah, that's about right, man. It's basically in German. It's a little walking cane, if you look it up, and it's got a couple of other meanings, but it's like a walking cane, so I guess one of my ancestors maybe made canes for living.
Is that what you think people
want to
know? You're going on about your last name? I just asked you how to pronounce it, okay? But I'll make a nice segue with that. I was looking at your LinkedIn profile. It's way too wordy, I'm going to tell you. I think it misrepresents you. You should have me to edit it for you for free.
Dude,
and I'll
I'm
tell
in.
You something else. I'll tell you something else. You don't act vain on this show. You come across as a nice guy. But your LinkedIn profile, you sound like a super boaster. And I'm going to read some of it to you. I've edited some of it down because it's way too wordy. You say, here's what you say. I'm often compared to a shot of adrenaline for recruiters. Blah, 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 blah. I encourage people to color outside the lines with audacity. I don't know what that means. I don't want to color outside the lines with audacity. I want someone to tell me where I want to go, especially when I'm trying to learn sourcing. You're a teacher. You know, you don't want to be letting me out of my own. And then you go on and say, because of my unparalleled obsession with sourcing and my continuous drive to probe for practical solutions where no one has gone before, Star Trek, may I say I deliver, you know, many say I deliver the courage recruiting leaders need to walk the edge to success in
You're
today's
putting me to sleep,
over-informed
bro.
World. Well, what does that mean? What are you saying there, Shally?
I have no idea.
Shame
I have somebody
you.
Write it for me.
I'll do it. I'll do a better job for free.
Do
Go
it.
Ahead.
On. Do it. I'll have it up by the end of the day.
Okay, well, what does that mean? You've got an unparalleled obsession with sourcing.
Well, I mean, that is true. I'm very much obsessed with sourcing. I've been doing it for 15 years, and, you know, I've given up a lot of other career opportunities.
How many hours a day do you spend thinking about sourcing?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer.
Okay,
I would have
next
to say
question.
Probably...
I'm worried, Shelly. I'm walking a tightrope here. I don't want to get slaughtered in 45 minutes, okay?
You're not going to get slaughtered for about...
Yes, I will. Okay, well, here's another question. It's not a sourcing question. I'm just curious, because you're really a social media consultant. Why do you have this personal stuff on your LinkedIn profile? It says, I don't think it's bad. Maybe it's for building trust. It says, I'm originally from Columbia, South America, and now reside in Atlanta, Georgia. Graduated with a dual degree from RIT, doesn't say what that is, married to a gorgeous lobster-eating Mainer, and father of two perfectly sweet and gorgeous little angels. I've never seen anything like that outside of a Facebook page. Nothing on LinkedIn. Why did you go for that personal
because
stuff?
Because it's who I am, Animal. That's who I am. I'm a sorcerer when I'm working, and when I'm not working, I'm a father and a family man, and I spend time with my kids and my wife. We've been married 15 years, so I think it's a very important part of my life. If you want to get to know me in a professional capacity, that's part of who I am.
What, are you warning people that you're not free 24/7? Is that it? I mean, okay, well, let's move on.
I think it's I encourage everybody that I teach sourcing and recruiting to, especially in a social media context, to be transparent about who they are as much as they would be in an office environment. So imagine if you would go to an office, you're probably going to share things about your kid's soccer tournament and your daughter's bake sale or whatever.
Okay,
so,
keep this short. People don't want to hear about this, okay?
Well, okay, maybe they don't, but I'm explaining why I have it on my profile, which was your question.
Uh-huh, yeah, well, you know what? Turn the tap off a little on the verbal diarrhea. Get to the good stuff right away. Now, look, Shelly,
I want to know what people want to know.
Well, wait a second. I have a few questions that I know are reasonable. Okay?
Okay.
What are you up to today? You recently left Arbita. Left is in quotation marks. It's a euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting something new. We don't even know the name of your new company, but I know you're here today because you want people to know what you're doing. So now, go ahead and tell us.
Well, the name of the company is 4SCT. And basically,
4S?
It's a...
4 like in Sam?
The number 4, the letter
yeah,
S.
I'm with Jerry on that. Jerry, let's hear that again.
Is that a sound effect? That sounded almost exactly like the last one.
It's hard to understand. It's hard to understand.
You don't have to understand it. It's just a website.
Why not?
Because it doesn't matter. So you asked me what I do. I'm pretty much doing the same thing, consulting and advising recruiting leaders and sourcing leaders on how to do this thing better, faster, more efficiently, how to optimize it. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Now, that's really, opaque and, sourcing leaders, does that mean you don't teach regular sourcers? Like if Jerry said, I want to improve my recruiting, my sourcing skills, would you not teach him?
Well, I would believe that Jerry is a leader.
I am not a leader.
That way?
Nope.
No? Okay. Well,
strictly
people follow
middle
you.
Of the pack.
So you better either start 50-50. Becoming a leader.
What does leader
or
mean?
Paranoid.
I criticized a guy yesterday, and his company got mad at me on Twitter, because he used all kinds of words like holistic and strategically integrated and HR leaders in the same sentence. And I said, that's not good.
I don't think you need to be a manager, Animal, to be a leader. Okay, so for me, it's anybody who is out there that wants to learn more about the industry, that wants to drive the industry forward. They could be leading by example, if not necessarily leading in a position of authority.
Anyone who has the desire to color outside the lines with audacity.
With audacity,
is that,
you got it.
Is that fair? Okay, so if someone wanted to get in touch with, like, who's in this company? Do you want to tell us about the size of it?
Yeah,
or,
so my wife and I started
really,
Job
Machine. You're like a gossip target in the recruiter sphere. We want to
sure
know
enough.
What you do. Okay.
Well, my wife Stephanie and I started Job Machine a long, long time ago when we were living in Arizona in 98, 99. And she had worked with a company for quite some time until we started having kids, and so now she's returned. So her and I are running. She's doing a lot of the operations. Then I have another gentleman by the name of Rob who's doing a lot of sales and dealing, you know, with business development and partnerships and things like that. And then we have our business manager, who I think is the person who scheduled some of these shows. So there's four of us right now and a couple of contractors that are just part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Just a small
we have a
shot.
Question from Brenda. If Shally's still doing one-on-one consulting and
yes.
training, how does someone get in touch with him?
4SCT.com, or you can follow my Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn profiles.
And Kathy Manis wants you to tell us what your real first name is.
My real first name? Why?
I have no idea.
No, he doesn't. Shally's his name. I veto that, okay? I veto that. Shally is his brand. Don't destroy his brand, okay?
Kathy Manis.
You're saying revealing his real name would destroy his brand?
No,
his real
but
name is Shally.
I use my pen name because of for security reasons. It's very difficult
yeah, okay.
to steal identity.
I'm with Shally. I know all about Shally. Shally's his name, okay? On this show, we call him Shally.
Okay.
Now, Shally, you said something else that seems absurd. You say on your LinkedIn page, you say effectiveness only delivers average results. Is that like a Koan or something? What does
you know,
that mean?
You can think that that's absurd, but in this day and age, if you're not effective, you're no longer in business. So in my opinion, effectiveness is you can do the job. Now, whether you want to be effective or you want to excel is a different question. So I'm all about excellence. I'd rather get people who work with me to be excellent, to stand out, to do it exceptionally well, not just you know, be effective.
Okay, so, you know, people attack me. I'm just going a little more through his LinkedIn profile.
It's kind of like, you know, meets expectations versus exceeds expectations.
The extreme optimization of existing recruitment teams is required in order to establish talent identification practices that yield a virtuous cycle of sustainable competitive advantages. Does anybody know what that means?
You saw my presentation at SourceCon, and
yes.
basically, if you look at that chart that had the growth that went from quality being the lowest common denominator all the way up to a competitive, sustainable advantage, that's exactly what I'm talking about there.
Okay.
So
yeah. okay.
we start with quality, because if you don't have quality, if your quality sucks, you can't do your job, you're not going to have a job.
Yeah,
once you get the quality down, you can focus
on speed. Trust me. We got to move on, but I can't resist reading. And sorry, everybody. It's my addiction. I can't resist reading a few more of these long run-on sentences from his profile.
Well, you better read them quickly, Animal, because you're going to be replacing
yeah,
those by
traits,
the end of the day.
You know, this is your third time in a row. I took it easy on you before, but now we want to put you through the ringer a bit and see
Bring
if you're really on the Recruiting Animal show, okay? To make
okay.
you a real alumnus. Now, through the trade secret process we have established, we will help your organization's recruitment leadership regain the courage needed to walk the edge so you can identify and engage with the 30% of talent currently unreachable through your traditional means. Now, I read that, parsing everything with a bit of silence all the way through, so I assume people understood me. Although I'm not sure. What does it mean, Shally?
Well, basically, there's a lot of jobs that are unfilled at corporations. And those 20 to 30%, in some cases a little bit higher than that, of jobs are being, you know, people are attempting to fill it through all kinds of ways. They go out to RPOs, they go out to search firms, and everybody's having a tough time filling them because they're just hard to fill. So it doesn't matter what your process or your system is. There's always going to be jobs that are hard to fill. That's what I focus on. I'm not the guy you call for the 80% or the 70% of the jobs that you have no problem filling that you want to do faster or cheaper or whatever. I'm the guy you call when you've got jobs you cannot fill.
Okay. Now let me ask the people here, okay? Should we talk about Shally's weight loss now or just move on? Forget about that unless I run out of, you know,
can we just say congratulations?
Yeah. Well, I just got to know how you lost 100 pounds, but I'll ask you later, okay?
How'd you do it?
I'll ask him later.
I'm going to get to some sourcing questions.
No, it's been a long process. I recovered from shoulder surgery and ended up in physical therapy. So long story short, the physical therapy sessions 3 times a week kind of got me on the right path, going to the gym, you know, 3 times a week. And I just kept up with that and made some dietary changes and a couple of other things. It's been, you know, a slow progress.
Okay, let's move on. Did you hear me? Jerry's not in charge, right? Okay. A lesson here.
All right,
no,
we have another question.
Somebody
about 4-SCP.
Yeah,
we have another question about
4-SCP.
Lisa Mule wants to know what it stands for.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to know. Okay, I got a question, Shally.
Yeah.
Lord.
Shally.
Yes, sir.
Now, how searchable is PDF content online? How important is it? How many? Because there's lots of names in PDF. How searchable is it?
Well, that's a good question. Most of the search engines out there have developed the technology to be able to do optical character recognition from, you know, as many documents as possible. PDFs are very easy because there actually is, you know, the text is in there. So as far as documents that are images are concerned, PDFs are the easiest to read. When you look at a Word doc or PowerPoint or Excel, it's actually in text. So those characters are already in ASCII or in a language that the computers will understand. So the PDFs are the second easiest. So as far as things that are graphical, I would say of all of them, the PDF is the easiest to interpret. And how easy is it to find them? I would say fairly easy. Again, the reason behind that is if somebody took the time to create a PDF document, it's quite likely that it has some form of information in it. Not necessarily a resume. So search engines are going to make the assumption that it's a white paper or something else, marketing information or whatever, and so they're going to give it a little bit of a higher priority than they would something that is just kind of, you know, a flat, plain text file.
Really? So PDFs get ranked higher than other information. Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes. It depends. You can actually change the ranking of how things get searched on some search engines.
Okay. But how important are PDFs when you're doing sourcing for names?
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're going to ask me questions like that, I would say if 10 being the most important activity that you do as a sourcer, sourcing for PDF documents is probably a 3.
Really? So in terms of putting, let's say, sheet steel research file type colon PDF, you don't do that too often. Is that what you're saying?
I do that a lot less these days because for the most part, people who are sharing documents are now using document sharing websites. Like you might be familiar with SlideShare or DocStoc, Dropbox. There's a lot of those out there. And so instead of uploading a PDF to a website, people are uploading the document in either original format or PDF to something like SlideShare, for example, and now it's being converted into Flash. So I no longer search as much. I still do it, but not as much. For file types, I instead have a custom search engine that I built on Google that searches all of the document sharing websites, and that will encompass PDFs, PowerPoints, and Word documents.
Now, this custom search engine, you want to tell us some? First of all, let me say something. So you're saying that people have announcements for the company that they would have put in a PDF newsletter before with names of new executives and departing executives and you know, people who were at their parties and stuff like that. You're saying that's going to show up in a SlideShare document? Or
oftentimes,
a SlideShare?
Yes, they want to share it. I'm not saying always. They may also still have the PDF up there. But it's going to show up in a SlideShare because they use that to share it on Facebook or share it on LinkedIn or share it on Twitter, and they want to track statistics on how many people hit it.
Now,
if you do
Google
that with a PDF
search
document, you have to have access to the server in order to see that kind of metric.
Does Google search a SlideShare content?
Yep.
Really?
Unless it's password protected. There are SlideShares that you have to have a password for. The same thing goes for Vimeo videos, for example. There are public videos and private videos.
Okay, but for the public SlideShares, the words, the individual keywords inside them are searched by Google, and you can find names of people in relevant positions in SlideShows. Is that what you're saying on SlideShare?
Correct, and a bunch of others. That's right.
Has anybody ever had that experience here who's on the line right now?
So let me tell you. So grab a pen, okay, docstock, D-O-C-S-T-O-C .com, and I'm sure Kathy is transcribing this as we speak, slideshare.net if you're wondering. A couple that are a little bit off the wall, Calameo, C-A-L-A-M-E-O.com, C-A-L-A-M-E-O, and then there's docshare.com, there's Impressor, E-M-P-R-E-S-S-R, that's also .com, slideboom.com, Udo, which is Y-U-D-U.com, E-Doc-R, just like it sounds, E-D-O-C-R.com, BookGoo, B-O-O-K-G-O-O.com. Then there's also I-S-S-U-U.com. And then one of the biggest ones is docs.google.com. A lot of people use Google Docs to store their data, and more documents are ending up there versus, you know, being hosted on a website as an attachment.
Wow, that's the kind of diarrhea we want, Shelly. Congratulations. I like that. Anybody got a question about what Shelly just said?
I missed the first two, Shelly.
DocStock, SlideShare, Calameo, DocShare, Impressor, SlideBoom, Udo, eDocker, BookGoo, and ISSU, and then, of course, docs.google.com.
Wow.
Boom?
Yeah, you know what? Listen to the tape, okay? Listen to the recording. This is all being recorded.
Kathy's going to transcribe all this and have something she can post over on your site, though, right, Animal?
No worries. She posts on Twitter, not on my site, okay? Now,
it'll
Shelly,
go on Facebook. It'll be everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, now, Shelly, still with me? Shelly, you here?
Right here.
Okay.
Sherry, don't
now,
breathe like that.
Now, the
somebody
guy
on Twitter
that
said
I was
mega
upload.
It wasn't me.
I was reading this article about searching PDF content online, and the guy says he did that search that I mentioned, the sheet steel research file type colon PDF, all in quotation marks. And then he said, he was doing a test. He said, then I proceeded directly to Google's 10th results page to avoid the very best content on the web, and I started looking from there. I know resume strategy also tends to go way deep into the Google results, it seems to me, in order to find the good stuff. Do you start, when you're doing a Google search, do you look at the first few pages or do you look deep first?
I only look at a couple of pages, but that's because I only get about 100 results, 100 to 200 results per search.
That's because your search is so narrow. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. It's much better to get, you know, 100 to 200 results on a search than it is to try to filter content. So if you're getting several hundred pages of results, you're getting, you know, 300, 5,000, 100,000, then your result is inaccurate and inefficient. You have to understand that the way Google sees you is it sees you as a dollar sign. You're not their customer. Their customer are the people that place ads. You are actually their product. Your eyeballs are Google's product. So what happens is Google is intent on providing content for the majority of the population. Now, you think to yourself, do you think there are more recruiters or do you think there are more job seekers? Duh, right?
Duh.
Exactly. So Google is going to cater to the job seeker, which means if you do searches for stuff, it's going to provide content, assuming you're a job seeker, more than it would be assuming that you're a recruiter. So therefore, every search that you do must always result in less than 1,000 results. If you see a number like about 11,000, your search is inefficient. And even if you went to the 10th page or the last page, you're still only going to see the first 999 results. You will never see result number 1,000 or 10,000 or 10,017 ever. So every
right.
search
you're saying
needs
they,
to be
they just repeating the same results? You're saying they're repeating results?
No.
What
I'm saying is that the brain behind the data center, which is called the multiplexer or the MUX, has to make a decision about all the data that's being sent to it by all the servers that have indexable content that relates to the keywords that you searched for. So in other words, there's a computer that summarizes all the stuff, all the other computers send it, and that computer will only demonstrate to you the first 1,000 results as they relate to popularity, and the popularity is assuming that you're a job seeker. So it's going to send you the first 1,000 relevant results to a job seeker, as a recruiter, that's not good, and you're never going to see anything after 1,000. Therefore, your search needs to be less than 1,000, and then it will be accurate.
Now, if someone takes, you know, if someone comes to you and says, I noticed that back in 2008 or something, you and Maureen and Glenn Guttmacher wrote an article about the different kinds of trainings available, and you guys were saying, don't take cheap training. It's not the same as quality training. And you remember that article on ERE?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm asking, if someone came to you and they say, well, I already know all this stuff about, you know, Boolean search. I don't have to pay you to learn a lot about it. And could you just say, well, how many results are you getting when you do a Google search? And if they get over 100, do you say, you know, you're not doing a good search? Is that fair?
Yeah, among other things. I've got a pretty easy 35-question test that'll tell me whether or not
you're doing. I was just
going
to talk about that, Shally. I don't mean to interrupt, but when I was with Shally and these people would say they are the best of the best sourcers in the world, and we would give them Shally's little 35-question quiz, they came back extremely humbled, and they said they thought they had a source.
Did Shally, is it okay if you or Kathy shares a few of those questions so people can test themselves right now to see if they really know what their stuff or not?
No, they can just contact me if they want to challenge me.
Nice.
They could what?
Contact me, shally@forestct.com.
Oh, okay.
But
they should be aware. People should be aware. You know, I called into Blog Talk
Radio.
Here's the
thing, let me be absolutely frank with you, and I've held my tongue before with you as well. Here's the thing.
Don't hold your tongue with
me. Most people who come to us and tell us that their recruiters are the best, those recruiters are the worst. When we test the people who say, I know everything there is to know about sourcing, they score the lowest on the test results. It's the ones that say, you know, I'm not really sure. I'm probably not going to do so well. And they get a little nervous about taking the test. They'll score higher. The ones that come to us and go, I know it all. You don't have to even test me. I know it all. They're the ones that score the lowest. Interestingly enough,
Gary say that?
The people that have confidence and think that they know it all actually score lower than the people who think they don't know anything. I've had people who come in and say, but I don't know anything, and have guessed better than the people with confidence that say they know everything.
Okay.
Point of reference, I am not a sourcer.
Congratulations, Jerry.
You're still a know-it-all.
I'm an internet surfer.
Congratulations.
I'm on the business development side.
Shelley, I have to do an ad for my good friend Greg Durgarian. Greg, I haven't ever written it out yet, but I haven't charged him either, okay? And but I'm going to tell you about TempWorks.com. TempWorks.com. If you want to go in the same kind of, let's say, IT contracting business like Jerry, and Jerry is living the dream, and that is good business.
Stay out.
Yeah. He doesn't want you as competition.
Stay out.
But I know.
It is
living
hell.
The dream. Okay. If you want to be like Jerry, if you want to have two TVs in your bar downstairs or whatever it is he's got, and you
upstairs.
Want to start your own business, these guys at TempWorks.com, they'll give you all the software you need, and they'll fund you. They will fund you, okay? Now, I don't know everything about TempWorks, and I don't know everything about factoring, which is apparently the financial term for that kind of business. But if you go to TempWorks.com or you talk to Greg Durgarian on Twitter, you're going to find out a lot about it. Now, don't ask me to spell Greg Durgarian. It's a long name. But TempWorks.com, and you'll find them, okay? Thank you. Shally. You know, Shally, how can people find you? They can go to Shally on Twitter. But, like, what's your blog now? Because you've got old blogs that don't exist
Shallify
anymore
me,
as well.
Shallify.me.
Yeah.
And also Shally.me or ForestCT.
You know, Shally, you're doing great today. I just got to tell you, you're still the big man for me. You've come through for me for the last half hour. I want to congratulate you, and I want to see if Indy Andy from Indianapolis is here to give a halftime report. I doubt it.
He is not here, and he passes along his well wishes for Shally and company.
Okay, thank you, Andy, at least for, you know, letting Jerry know. Maureen, is there any action on Twitter that Shally should be
aware
of?
We're not getting any questions about sourcing. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I guess it's just too amazing.
See, Animal,
you
can't take this from people. They can't come to you and say that you didn't do a good job when they didn't show up for the meeting and didn't ask any questions.
Shelly, I don't have to ask any questions. You're doing great. Now, let me see.
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Mike from Brightview. I have a question, Shelly. So you mentioned earlier about
Mike from what? Tell people, Mike, identify yourself. Take the opportunity to give them your website.
Oh, it's Mike Brandt with Brightmove. It's brightmove.com. We're one of the ATS providers out there.
Yeah,
but
I didn't ask you to do an ad, okay? I just asked you to tell your website.
You asked for the
next
website.
Next question.
No, Shelly, I mean, you mentioned earlier about getting into PDFs and trying to find things like announcements and so forth. I mean, are you able, have you guys dove into, like, event announcements? I know with LinkedIn and with Facebook, a lot of people are starting to use, and me, for example, use those networks as a means for getting events out there. Can you get to that content, and can you search it?
Yeah, you can definitely search events. There's Eventbrite. You can do a site search, site:Eventbrite, Meetup for local events, and, of course, you can do LinkedIn events as well. That's events.linkedin.com, I believe. It might be linkedin.com/events. But the thing is that a lot of times, it depends on the individuals wanting to click on the fact that they're attending. So all you're going to get are the people that are extremely social and are sharing the fact that they're attending the event. There's always going to be more people that show up. So ERE is a good example of this. They have a couple of trade shows, and they do list their events on, for example, LinkedIn events. And so you'll usually get, 20 or 30 people, but there'll be 500 people at the show. So if that gives you a representation of the audience, what I'm trying to say is that it is a good source, but it's going to be a small source. And those people are already on LinkedIn and already on Facebook. You would have probably found them some other way.
Got it.
What you should focus on are associations and organizations that are providing events for their constituents, and they have on their website hosting presentations or bios of the speakers and panelists. Those are less likely to be people that you can find on the social network. So, for example, the local Atlanta Accounting Association on their website would have the bio of the person who's speaking at this month's meeting, and that might be a person who doesn't have much of an electronic footprint. The other way you can do this is you can look at hotels. A lot of times hotels near companies and organizations will have overflow meetings, and the meetings in the hotel are announced on the hotel board, which is also published on the Internet. So oftentimes you'll see the announcements of what companies are hosting the event inside of the hotel's website, and that shows up on search engines as well. So it's events, but not really on the Internet. It's kind of happens to be on the Internet because the hotel put it there, if that makes any sense.
So how would you search? How would you come across that stuff on the hotel? Would you do a search specifically of hotels? I mean, how would
it's pretty easy to identify where a hotel is. If you know that the company headquarters are nearby and people go in to interview, it's not that hard to call there and ask them, hey, is this where a lot of the people who interview at this company stay? And they'll say, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, but you can't. They're going to give you the names of the people who are in the rooms.
That's not what I said.
Well, I don't know what you're saying. What are you saying?
I'm saying you found the hotel, and you can look up the events. Not every hotel puts their events online, but a lot of the bigger ones do.
Oh, okay. So you're not getting it in search results. You're going to actually, you're figuring out where the events are going to be held, then you go to the hotel. That's what you said. It's not on the Internet, but you can find it.
Right.
Is that what
you can search using Google Maps and find that as well. It's not always going to be there because it's not always going to be online, but I'm answering the question regarding events. It's one of the ways you can maximize events without necessarily having to have people's online profiles. What we're finding less and less is we're finding fewer spreadsheets. There's fewer spreadsheets of participants of an event. They're still out there, but more often than not, it's going to be just the name and title, no contact information, even when they are out there. It's more common to find, let's say, meeting minutes in a PDF format.
Is that for security reasons? People are cutting back?
I think it's getting so much easier to interact online that a lot of groups are simply just going with the path of least resistance and creating a event page on Meetup or whatever, and they don't bother with doing a lot of the other stuff anymore.
Brightmove.com. Do you have any follow-up?
No. I mean, it's interesting because it makes sense. Hotels like to brag about who's showing and who's doing what at the hotel, and it's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Shelly.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, does anybody else have a question for Shelly?
We have question from Job Search Coach.
I just want to follow.
I guess he wants you to open it.
Okay, but I forgot my question anyway. How many searches are going to be how many placements are going to be made by finding someone, you know, who's, you know, attending a conference or, you know, speaking at a hotel? Are those important searches? Is it important to know who's, you know, like to search a bit, right?
I would put it lower
like
on the
that?
Rank. So if we're using that same scale, 1 to 10,
yeah,
where 3 is, you know, searching for PDF documents, this would probably be a 1 or a 2.
Okay.
It's still on the board, though. And the reason is quite simple. When you don't have any other choice and you find the one person that represents the hire, does it really matter that this is your last resort? Would you rather know that you have a last resort, or would you rather just throw your hands up in the air and say it can't be done? Because that's what you're competitive.
Just bail out.
Well, if you bail out, then somebody else makes the placement.
That's all right.
Uh-huh.
Which plenty to go around.
That's right.
Okay, so now we're asking
eventually, though,
job
I
search.
Get the rec.
The job search, yeah. Job search. Okay. You want to ask a question, or do you just want his mic open? Maureen?
He wants his mic open.
Actually, Maureen, you're blowing this. The question is not from Job Search Coach. It is from exec. Okay, his mom.
Janice, do you have a question?
Yes.
Yeah, can you hear me?
There we go.
Okay.
Janice,
real quick.
Let's give JaniceSpeaks.com. You want some free podcasts for job hunters, JaniceSpeaks.com has a lot of them. I like them. Go ahead, Janice.
Thank you. Real quick question on the sourcing test. Is that more important than the sourcing past?
The sourcing past?
Yeah. In other words, on any one given person that you're evaluating for sourcing, wouldn't their past achievements and their victories be more important than a test?
No.
Why not?
Because if they're going to be sourcing, I need to know that they can do their job.
Some people don't test well.
Okay.
But they perform well.
So you're saying they don't do well in a multiple choice exam. I can still talk to them, right?
Correct.
Yeah, if I can talk to them, I can still figure it out.
Okay. In other words,
I don't need to have a pencil and paper test. I can ask the questions verbally.
Well, it's like with any of us. You know, if I come to you and tell you, hey, this guy was mine, that guy was mine, that girl was mine, doesn't that hold more water than a test?
No, because I don't know how you got them.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Anybody else with a question?
You were shot down,
Shelly.
Janice.
Yeah, you were, Shelly. That wasn't a good question. But, you know, I'm glad you asked it. Okay. Now, Shelly,
yes,
your old boss, Rob McIntosh?
Yep.
Remember him?
Uh-huh.
Remember him? He says the grail, the holy grail of metrics is quality of hire. And what he wants to do is assess talent using the top 10% of employees as the guideline. Now, he'd also, it sounds like to me, what he wants to do is assess the effectiveness or the efficiency or whatever of sourcers by seeing how they, the people that they identify, once they're hired, how they actually rate compared to the top 10% of employees. He acknowledges there's a problem because, you know, the manager is going to be a factor. There's going to be a lot of factors once the person comes in that have nothing to do with their history, which is what the sourcer is working with. Is there any way to judge the quality of the sourcer's work by the performance of the candidates he or she finds? Is that a reasonable question?
Is it a reasonable question? Yeah. I don't think that it's something that we could do right now. If you could do that, it would be done with job boards and advertisements and search firms and all kinds of other things. So in other words, if you're going to measure the quality of candidate or the quality of hire based on the source, why don't you do that for your website and your employee referral program and your applicant tracking system and your social media activities, et cetera?
I don't understand your answer, but I'll move on. But first I want to...
Well, the answer is this. The sourcer is simply the conduit, the channel, okay? It doesn't... The sourcer themselves...
Hey, if somebody got their phone out the window and they're driving down the highway, there's a swooshing noise. Stop it! Can you hear it, Shelly?
I didn't know what that was.
Brenda Lee wants to know if Shelly has any webinars coming soon and how do we find information on it.
Oh, look, we're talking about something else, okay? Thank you, Brenda Lee. But let me ask you another
question. Maureen, that's one good reason why if I were you, I would consider not doing this anymore for Animal. That was just plain rude.
Okay, go ahead, Shelly. Do you have any webinars, Shelly? Shelly, do you have any webinars?
On for SCT, you can see the next one's coming up. I'm doing one with OnRec, and I'm doing one with, I believe, ERE coming up.
Now, Shally is a very good speaker. I'm going to salute him for that. But I also want to salute someone who's listening today, Amy Beth Hale, ResearchGoddess.com and ResearchGoddess on Twitter. Also the Lance, but I don't know if Amy, who set up the talent that was speaking at SourceCon, but Shally referred a few minutes ago to his presentation there. I watched the whole thing for free online, and it was really interesting. So I want to salute Amy for that. Amy, by the way, refused to help me with any of these questions, so you know, if you like some of them, it owes nothing to her. I just want to point that out as well. Okay, Shally, is there any future for the generalist recruiter? I've been talking to Kathy Manis over the past year. Kathy is somebody who came to you after 9 years or so in corporate recruiting. I can't stand that noise. And so she was sort of an expert recruiter, but she has raved incessantly about you personally. She likes your personality after a year with you, which is a compliment. And she also says she's been learning a ton of stuff from you. So I'm there's a few questions there. If somebody comes to you after an established career in recruiting, is there still a lot they can learn from you, and what kind of stuff would that be? But also, I know she's been doing generalist recruiting practices. She works on, you know, hospital stuff one day and arborist stuff another, real weird searches. And I don't know, I figure that's really hard. And why would anybody come to you with that? I can't stand that noise. Is there room for a generalist? If I go to people and I say I'm a generalist, they say I'm looking for niche recruiters who work exclusively in a certain area. What do you say?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking to you, right?
Okay. Well, yeah. You mentioned a few people there, so I think there is definitely a role.
I can't hear because of that stupid noise. Somebody's doing something weird with their cell phone. If you're on a cell phone, get off the line!
Wow.
Go on, Shally, not you. I can't hear.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I absolutely think that there is a value in a place for the generalist. Sourcing in recruiting is a specialization, very much like there's specializations in marketing and in legal. There are still people who are, you know, generalists at marketing and generalists.
Hello?
It's going to go away. You know, you have to look at the size of the company. If a company is big enough to have specialists, then it will. But if it's
No, Shelly, you're way off base here, and I'm muting people, so I muted you by accident. Okay.
Who is really digging that ice cold drink?
Yeah, somebody's sucking on a straw there. Nice.
Yeah, somebody's making noise. It's
that's
just,
the one that's got this extra volume going on here, animal.
I muted almost everybody, including Shally. Sorry, it's throwing me. Here, Shally, let me tell you the same story I told Amy last week. I went out to a company. They needed people who recruited in retail. I said I did 3 searches in retail last year. He said the guy I'm using has did 50 searches in retail. Why should I hire you? I went out to a legal firm, a big legal firm downtown, and I said, have you done any searches for lawyers? And I said, yeah, I've done 2 or 3 last year. He said, you know what? I deal with people who know everybody already. They understand all the terminology. I don't have to explain anything to them. And they blew me away. How do you get around that? Because you do generalist work, don't you? Shally?
I think so. I think I see your point. So, yes and no. If you're in a search firm and you make money making placements directly, you get a fee of the person's percentage of the person's salary, then I could see where your argument is valid. In other words, in those cases, yes, you would want to specialize because you want to develop that. You want to be that person that guy just said. But that doesn't apply for everybody, even in search firms, there still are going to be generalists. So what I'm saying is that there's room for generalists. I'm not saying that
why would someone want to work with a generalist who they have to explain everything to from the ground up and point them in the right direction?
Because you're a company of 200 employees with a small budget, and you need to hire 30 people, and you don't want to pay agency fees, and you really can't afford them.
Well, no,
not only
about agencies.
not only that,
go
I
ahead.
Think a generalist, you get into the habit of learning the different industries extremely quickly, and you have that aptitude to do so.
And, Animal, regarding the lawyer client who said that they work with a recruiter who already knows everybody, don't you think sometimes it would take someone who hasn't already talked to everybody, hasn't already heard all the reasons they don't want to change, who doesn't have a lot of preconceived notions about who to not call, and that fresh person is going to call everybody and make sure that everybody...
I just want to address one of my people here on Twitter, Daryl Dioso, or whatever his name is. I can't remember. I met him. Nice guy. He's saying all Animal's talking about his lawyer search story again. Look, I got Shally on the line, okay? I know that his student, Kathy, is working on all kinds of stuff successfully. I don't have the opportunity because people won't even let me in the door. Shouldn't I ask Shally how to handle that if he's doing it successfully? What I should be talking about. Go ahead, Shally.
I would push back. Here's the question that I would ask. I would ask, if your guy already knows everybody, are there any jobs that haven't been filled? Yes. Okay, so if he knows everybody, then how come that job wasn't filled?
Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah, but that's not a reason for them to give me the search before they give it to another firm. Okay.
No, and it's not a reason for you to become a generalist.
Okay, well, okay. Now, Martin Snyder says, does Shally see a market opportunity for hardcore sourcing software at major corporations?
Yes.
Want to talk about that? Is it a yes or no? Or,
yes,
you know?
There's an opportunity for hardcore sourcing software if it existed. Doesn't currently exist.
Oh, really? I mean, can we talk about the stuff that's out there, or would you rather not mention any names?
There's some really good things out there that, you know, that do part of the job, but, you know, just like with applicant tracking systems, they all have their pros and cons. Some applicant tracking systems are good at some parts of it and not so good at others. With sourcing tools, it's just like that, but even less mature as an industry because there's fewer of them out there. So, unfortunately, you know, they all have their pros and cons. I think one of the best tools out there, in my experience, has been Broadlook Diver, because I can do whatever I want on a search engine, and what it does is it parses the results into a spreadsheet. But you still need to know what you're doing with all the search engines, and it doesn't work on password-protected sites. Actually, it kind of does, but there's always something that can be done better with it, and there's no solution that has the ability to not require your sourcing knowledge. So in other words, there's no software out there that has an easy button that you just click and get candidates.
What
you
do you
have
think
to
about,
know how to source.
What do you think about the fine work that Ryan Leary has done with his recruiting bar, all that stuff?
So the Boolean bar?
Yeah, you're talking about a
Boolean
collection
bar.
Of favorites and bookmarks?
You know what I'm talking about, who Ryan Leary is?
Me? You want me to talk about it? Or?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about the tool that he...
Say his name, Jerry, who you're talking
Ryan
to. Ryan Leary. What do you think about this? Okay.
Yeah, he did say that. Like I said, it's you know, it's a collection of bookmarks and favorites, and like I said, there's a lot of tools out there, but there's nothing that's enterprise-ready that's going to give, you know, a group of 450 recruiters the same advantage. You still need to know what you're doing.
You know, I didn't understand your... Go ahead.
Hey.
Someone has a question?
No, it's Mike again. But part of the problem there is just adapt. It changes so fast, though, right? I mean, you look at the technology. The technology it's tough to adapt as fast as, you know, the searches that you have to do to find these people.
In a way, yes, you're correct. In other words, search engines change so rapidly. For example, the Google Plus has disabled the ability to use the plus as a requirement for a word in a search, so you can no longer do plus the, for example. And so that does have an effect, but at the same time, nothing has changed in the last 10 years. It's still data. So until we actually move to the point where we have computers have the ability to understand meaning and to interpret subtext, until we move to that, we're always going to be limited by the data.
Okay, I have one more question, and then we're going to go. Shally, I'm sorry, that whooshing noise, I don't know if you guys could hear it, but it was driving me crazy. sort of threw me off. Okay?
I've been blowing
like
my hair this whole time. Is that probably it, you think?
Yeah, maybe that's it. And I didn't like the answer you gave me on that generalist thing. And Daryl's got the nerve to say it's not a good question. It's a great question, and I didn't like the answer you gave me. I might come back to it again when I don't hear that whooshing in my noise. The last thing is, I was on Maureen's telephone sourcing chat yesterday, and a girl named DC Recruit on Twitter said, I prefer back-end Intel. Back-end Intel. She likes doing online searches, such as organizational charts and lists. Can you get those lots of org charts and lists using Boolean?
You can, yeah. But
really?
Boolean searches, yeah. Boolean search itself is outdated because of what the other gentleman just brought up, as far as technology changing so quickly. So, can you get to it? Yeah, it's out there. If you go to SlideShare, you'll find PowerPoints with org charts in them. Not
how many?
Company,
I mean,
but you'll find them. Well, I can get back to you on that. I don't know right now. I mean, I haven't done the search lately.
So Boolean, that's the last comment. Boolean's no good?
In the last 5 seconds.
Boolean's dead?
Boolean is outdated, not dead. Big difference.
What does that mean? Well, aren't we doing Boolean searches anymore?
I'm sure a lot of people are.
You don't have to do that tedious Boolean search anymore. All you do is type in a few words, and Google indexes everything for you. It doesn't
okay,
happen.
Not exactly
that's
everything.
For,
only
that's
about
for next time you come, Shally. Do you have a final word? Can you say your website again? I don't like the name. It's a name you – listen, I'll tell you one last thing. When you pick a URL, it has to be something you could tell someone at a noisy party, and they'll remember it tomorrow.
Sounds
I
like
don't need anybody to remember this
com
website.
Or something like that.
What,
sorry,
what's your
guys.
Website?
4SierraCharlieTango.com. 4SCT.com.
Shally, you know what's coming up now? The after show is coming up. You can't stay on it, and I can't stay on it. Thank you for coming on!
Big announcement. News flash.
Yeah.
The Soul Train guy.
Yeah, Don Cornelius.
Self-inflicted.
It's the you're a copier of him, because that's where you got your It's a Recruiting Animal show from Don Cornelius' screen. Yeah.
Actually, I just got it from Animal, because that's how he used to do it.
That was an interesting scream today, by the way. You added to it.
Yeah.
Is that
you know, not many people understand the pressure that builds up right before you're called on to execute the shout-out.
Especially when it's usually done live. I have to say last week when it wasn't live, it wasn't nearly as well played.
You know, last week was a very interesting thing. I found myself not even caring what day it was a few times last week, and I loved it.
Wow.
Yeah, got some new toys and, you know.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Yep.
New toys. Do tell.
A guy finally finished my bar with my cabinets and shelves and all that stuff.
You started drinking early.
No. I put my other TV in up there and had to get all that figured out and had to pull wires and different stuff and yeah. So that's what I was doing most of last week.
Huh.
And this week. Probably next week too. I have a new favorite spot. And if not, my office. How's everybody doing? Maureen, it's great to hear you.
I'm here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
Are you doing good? Or are you doing well?
You're not convincing us, Maureen.
I'm doing well, Rand.
Oh, okay. Because if you're doing good, God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. True.
She's doing well by doing good.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, my.
All that stuff, what he said.
I'm getting ready to take my hot tub cover to a canvas repair shop to have them sew some new straps on.
Why do
you think
always come off?
Yeah, I need a new strap on.
They rot or something. What's that all about?
Well, no, what happened was like I've replaced the hot tub cover and the hot tub skirt last year. Well, I had to screw on the things where the hot tub cover latches down. You know, you've got the little straps with the things that you push down in there. I didn't make it tight enough, so wind came along, just blew the whole thing off there, busted them, and all different kinds of stuff. So, yep. Mm-hmm. I've got some new locks and stuff, and I'm going to the canvas repair shop in North Webster.
Life in a villa, Indiana, sounds pretty damn good.
There's a lot of pressure. Which TV
do you
to watch the
your
game
hot tub
on?
Every day?
New bar, new hot tub cover. And
living large.
Yeah, definitely living
until the bank comes to collect on all of it, and then I gotta pull my kids out of school and sell all my shit.
Go down to the basement and hide out.
Yes, I will.
Pretend like nobody lives there anymore.
Are there any big conferences coming up?
NorthCon.
ERE Expo at the end of March. That's a big one. South by Southwest, the second week in March.
That sounds like fun.
In the middle
of a big party, isn't it? With
Sourcing Summit. Actually, South by Southwest is very interesting. The interactive portion of it is really, really interesting with all the new hot technology that's out there. And there's a rather large contingency of recruiters and HR professionals that are going to attend. So it's going to be a good time. There's so much information.
I'm about technology'd out, I think. The last several weeks, I've been away from Twitter and all the different stuff, and I've just really enjoyed it. It's like awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is more technology out there besides Twitter, Jerry.
I haven't heard of it.
Well,
It's Kathy.
Wow.
I'm working, I'm doing a contract now for a company that just told me that they brought Broadbean aboard.
Good.
And we're very excited.
Yeah, Broadbean's doing well these days.
No, congrats.
Thank you. Things are going well. We're real happy here, and life looks sumptuous on the horizon.
Nice. Well, speaking of life looking good, when is your marriage date, wedding?
My big day is July 21st.
July 21st.
Yep.
Let me write that down.
There will be pictures posted. We're having a very small...
Oh, really? You guys are going to put some stuff on Facebook?
Yeah, maybe a little.
Really? Being the reserved...
We're kind of shy. Yeah. A lot of people don't really know about a relationship, so...
Why does Animal keep asking the same question about is it possible to be a generalist recruiter? What do you think
because
he's hung up there?
I know why.
I think Animal wants to be a generalist recruiter, and he hasn't figured out exactly how to benefit the most from it.
He hasn't figured out how, because we talked about it, he hasn't figured out how to sell it to a client.
Yeah, he thinks he needs to tell a client, boy, I'm an idiot. I don't know anything about that. I'm really going to have to ask a million questions.
Right.
Do you mind?
Right.
He's just not smooth with it.
Well,
sales is about being smooth.
Right.
He's not smooth, maybe. Maybe he should just get out of it. Animals,
and
stay out.
And I loved your comment. I loved your comment when you said that, you know, the generalist would not have the preconceived notions that the expert supposedly would have. And I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, after a while, you're like, yeah, the last time I talked to that guy, he only wanted to move to Chicago, and his wife was nagging him to, you know, I mean, just all different kinds of stuff.
They become complacent. They think they know it all, and when situations could have changed.
Well, you kind of get in this cherry-picking mindset, like if you're in a niche and you've already talked to everybody, you start to think you know who and only who would want to hear about a job.
Right.
And that's why competitors beat you half the time, because they called the guy that was right there in your database, but you thought, nah, the last time I talked to him, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I love being
the generalist. I mean, like I said, you get to learn about every industry. I mean, you never know when I was working for Shelley what would come on my desk. So and you have.
I think we talked about this before. I think it's a generalist position is a great place to start, because then you can kind of figure out which industry you enjoy the most, where your propensity is leaning toward, where
you don't really enjoy any of these industries, do you? I mean, really?
Absolutely. I mean, I started in healthcare, and it was a perfect place for me to start because I transitioned from the dental field into healthcare recruitment, and I already had a lot of the lingo down, and it was a great transition for me. But I think if I had started as a young person in recruiting, I probably would have enjoyed the generalist arena and figured out exactly where I would have wanted to go and probably would have landed exactly where I did. So, I don't know.
I've been
ended
a generalist
up doing
for 15
some generalist
years.
Recruiting after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do a little bit of all of it. Typically try to pick the easiest.
That's so that you
don't
can
tell
get
anybody.
Out there in that hot tub watching the new TV over your bar.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
did
you
I
know,
hear Dave Manister's voice?
I believe so.
Dave Manister, did he drop off?
He bailed out already because we didn't get right to the scores.
See, and I even
noted.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I have myself on mute because I have construction going on here in the background.
What's going on in the background? Construction?
Yeah, the people underneath me heard the place underneath me is converting from a business to an apartment, and they're doing massive construction. And since I work from home,
fun.
It's making me a little nuts.
Mm. Now, where exactly are you, Dave?
I live in Little Italy in Manhattan, Jerry.
Nice. I've only been there twice.
It's a good town.
A lot of fun. We used to have a bunch of contractors that worked at MTV, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. And and that was my first experience with New York, and it was a blast. We came out to visit and spent a couple days, and it was awesome. Super. Actually, it was right after, it was just a few weeks after the first time the terrorist bombed, what did they bomb out there? The UN or?
They
tried to take it down the first time.
Yeah.
That was about 5 years before 9/11.
Yeah. We should have taken them a little more seriously than we did.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Hindsight's 2020.
Indeed.
Yep.
Well, speaking of hindsight...
What was the question?
The question is, what's your score for the show real quick? I just got to get this down real quick in case we lose the call.
I thought it was a pretty good one. I'd go 80 and 80.
All right. Rayanne?
It was good. There was some, Shelley brought some good content. I was not happy with Animal's performance particularly. I just don't like the yelling, and he seemed to get back into the yelling thing today. So I'm going to give Shelley an 80 and Animal a 65.
Maureen.
And I love him and everything, but I can't do what Maureen does, you know. She just...
I thought the monologue was flat. What's he even talking about anymore? He's starting to ramble a little too much for his audience to even pay attention to. Maureen.
I should exact revenge for him knocking my questions down,
yeah,
but I'm not going
exactly.
to.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
no,
agree
you should.
I should, but I'm not going to. I'm going to be bigger than that and agree with Dave, 80 and 80.
Man. I think Shelley is a very sharp guy. He's missing in his delivery. I think sometimes he gets a bit too technical.
Yeah.
Once you heard the word
your audience, right?
Data and server and indexing, all of these things. 70 for that, and Animal gets a 75. What?
Who's whispering? What? Hello?
Hello?
Okay. I think
Hello?
That was Maureen whispering.
Talking to myself. Sorry.
My
it's
cell phone's
Kathy.
Ringing, and it's in my pocket
of
my jacket that I'm sitting on here.
Kathy needs to give her scores.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Kathy.
I didn't like that Animal wouldn't reply to Maureen's, you know, questions
yep.
that people were asking.
It was rude.
Yeah, and people have legitimate questions.
And you're
so
sick.
I give, I give him a 60, and I think Shally, it seems scattered to me. There were so many different topics. 80.
Where is this quiz that was mentioned several times? Is that something that you guys do as a preliminary?
Yeah.
Prior to training thing, you don't just have a quiz just like for people to see if they know what they're doing or not somewhere, do they?
Well, it serves both purposes. I mean, they say they know how to source and they want to become a contract sourcer with Shally, so we say, okay. And there isn't a pass or fail. There really isn't. I mean, you can miss 20 out of the 35 and still pass. It depends which questions you answer correctly. But some people think they are the best of the best, and it's a very, very difficult quiz that you can't Google to find out the answers. I mean, it's crazy hard. I couldn't pass
it. Is it like copywritten or proprietary or something? Or
yeah.
Could you send it to me?
Yeah, it is. I can't. It is proprietary to Shally.
Well, I'll call Shally for you.
Gary, you got to call Shally and do it yourself.
Yeah, I guess so.
What's the problem? Why are you trying to cheese around it?
Hey.
Hey, what?
Any other scores?
Yep.
Who's this? Chris Fleek
is here, yep. 85's around today. I actually liked it. I like listening to smart people talk, even if it isn't always on point.
See, that's what I keep telling Animal, but he wants me to talk less and less. So I'm glad you're on my side with that.
Funny, funny, funny.
Funny, funny. Anybody else?
Anybody else here?
Okay, so David Manister.
Gary.
I want to hear from David Manister for a second. Just what's going on with ERE and Four Dice Letter and the big direction that you guys are taking now? What's going on? I want to hear about it. You're kind of my media hero.
It, but I can't. I'm not going to subject you to the construction noise.
Okay, well, that's going to be the question I'm asking you next time that we have a minute, because I just love ERE. It's really do.
Yeah, ERE Expo is the 28th through the 30th, correct?
In South Bend?
No, San Diego.
Oh, it is? Yeah. That's right.
San Diego's,
always,
I hear.
Spring show's always in San Diego.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to have to go.
Ooh. How far away is that for you guys?
For me, it's by
Well, Kathy,
15
it's right
minutes.
Across the street.
Right.
It's about an hour south of me. Hey, Jerry, I got a quick question for you the other day. I missed your call. I believe it was on Monday. Did that have anything to do with the strange response?
Yeah,
I
was just trying to start some controversy. Something that I never do, but...
Yeah, something that you never do. Well, I didn't even see your response. I was spending time responding to the comment.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, I posted a thing about mobile technology being used in recruitment, and one of my friends on Facebook went off about discrimination in recruiting. And it had absolutely nothing to do with discrimination. When Jerry called her out on it, she said, oh, I didn't really read the article.
She just assumed
I just assumed that we were talking about discrimination again.
Crazy stuff. All right, well, thanks a bunch, everybody. I have to get back to work.
Me too.
Because I've been real busy lately.
Go make sure that strap gets re-sewn, Jerry.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Take it easy, everybody. Thanks.